Street Improvement Program. Rock City.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight's discussion is on the six-year street plan update. The 2022 through 2027 six-year transportation improvement plan is an annual transportation plan which outlines the city's plan for street projects for the next 6 years. Current state statutes require that each city and county annually update their transportation improvement plan by June 30th of each year. The six-year TIP must outline the projects for the next 6 years, including estimates for project start and completion dates, project objectives, costs, and funding sources. The six-year TIP includes projects that have secured funding as well as projects with unsecured funding being considered for the remainder of the period. The 2022-2027 six-year TIP will include these projects with updated costs, projected dates, and funding sources. The projects have been prioritized based on costs and funding potential listed in this order. Number one is the Jackson Street Extension. Number two is South Juniper Street and Jackson Street Improvements. Number three is the Mural Attraction Sidewalk Improvements. Number four is 2nd Avenue Improvements. Number five is the Soton Avenue Improvements. Number six is the South Toppenish Avenue Improvements. Number seven is the Idaho Street Extension. Excuse me. Eight is the 4th Avenue Reconstruction. Nine is King Lane Improvements. 10 is the Fire Station Improvements. 11 is the Police Station Improvements. And 12 is the Burger Lane, Adams Avenue, and Brooks Lane Roadway Improvements. At this time, I would like to introduce Stephanie Ray with HLA, the city's engineers. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocky. Members of council, city manager, great to see you. Okay, so this is an annual document like what Rocky had mentioned. It is required for not only YDCOG, but also DOT, and primarily focuses on federal projects or projects that could receive federal funding and also Transportation Improvement Board funding. So keep that in mind. It's not an all-inclusive list, but also know it is a planning document. So in here are 12 projects that have been, nine of them have been on your previous TIP, and three of them are new. So go ahead and go through them and feel free to ask me any questions that you have. I know there's a little list up there going around. Jackson Street. So Jackson Street has been on your TIP for a very long time, since about 2012. Currently, funding is secured for this project through the Surface Transportation Program and is scheduled for 2024. So I'm not going to dwell on that one too much. I think you guys have heard it all. The next one is South Juniper Street. And you all have a map in front of you. So there's numbers on these. They're a little small, but they relate to the order of project in this list. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's a priority of the project, but it's an easy way to kind of relate it up. So project number two on here, South Juniper to Jackson Street, is the next phase of Jackson Street to actually make that more of a lucrative corridor to get to the couple of those schools. Next one, project number three. This is a mural attraction sidewalk. So recall, here a couple years ago, we did a lot of sidewalk improvements here in the city. There were several sections, though, that were not located on federal classified route. So this particular project is to handle those improvements. They're primarily located there by the train depot. Project number four, 2nd Avenue Improvements. This project is added as kind of a continuation to phase one and phase two of 2nd Avenue that we've done over about the last 5 years. It continues to go there by Bowatwine and Silgan, across the railroad tracks, all the way up to G. That would be a typical roadway reconstruction that we'd see again. We would likely target either TIB or STP money for it. So just when you're looking at these, you'll see a TIB. That's the hopeful funding source that will be available at that time. Next one, Soton Avenue. This project's been identified for quite some time by city staff. And this is there by Les Schwab. And the idea is to actually kind of reroute that arterial, get rid of some of that extra pavement at the intersections, make it flow a little bit better. So this one's been on the list for a while. It does require a lot of planning effort, probably some right-of-way acquisition to actually make that be viable. Next one. So project 6, South Toppenish Avenue improvements. This project right here by City Hall. The idea with this one is would be the first phase of a more downtown revitalization project. Similar to Sunnyside, Prosser, Grandview, kind of actually, you know, add more character through sidewalk improvements for the downtown corridor. So make sure nobody has any questions. Project 7, Idaho Street Extension. This one was added for the first time last year. It's up way north on city limits. The idea behind this project is to create a new roadway between Buena and Elm, with the idea of providing a new access for emergency services to kind of backtrack to get down to that school if they need to. Project number 8, 4th Avenue Reconstruction. This project will likely be more in the imminent future for the city. It will, down at the bottom, it flows from Buena or Highway 22 over to Boland right in front of the hospital. This project would hopefully tie into some new potential improvements the hospital is looking to do. Mm-hmm. Project number 9, King Lane improvements. This project's been identified in recent years with popularity this year. Ideal Lumber may have some potential improvements going on in the area. So this project was actually added to the list this year, and it extends from First, goes all the way up to Rentschler, and then from Rentschler it goes over to Guyette behind Safeway. The idea right now, it's a gravel road. We want to pave it, get curb and gutter in there. You know, it has actually quite a lot of traffic, so.
Is that Guyette?
Yeah.
Or King Lane?
King Lane would be the main part of the improvement, and then it would hook over and tie into.
Okay,
project number 10. This is your next new project, fire station improvements. This particular project has been thought of previously. It was added to the TIP in response to the city providing appropriations request to Senator Murray and Senator Newhouse. So there's a chance you could receive federal funding through for this particular project. And we wanted to get it on your TIP just to show that there is some level of significance, some level of priority. Obviously, if that funding doesn't come through or if it's no longer a priority, it is something we can take back off the list.
Okay, that's one of my questions. You knew, didn't you? You knew. So no, that was one of my questions was how does that tie in? But that makes sense.
Yeah.
So thank you.
So it's in anticipation of federal money. There's a couple caveats here with TIB, which is state money, but has to be funding has to go to a project currently on your TIP.
Okay.
Federal money requires a project to be on your TIP, but then actually elevated up to your state level, and it's called a STIP. So if that funding actually happens to come in, then you already have done part of the process.
Okay.
Whereas if it wasn't on your TIP, you got the money and it was federal, then you would have to come back and do a TIP amendment to your 6-year TIP and do a public hearing all over again.
Okay. But this one will come off if it doesn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. And if I can jump in real quick. Thank you. Staff is also looking at adding this to the capital improvement plan?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
That would make sense. Thank you.
Project 11, same situation as Project 10, is improvements to your police station. Include the new roof, HVAC, electrical, some remodeling on the inside. This was also a project that was sent to both offices of Patty Murray and Newhouse for consideration of a direct apportionment.
So, and on that one too, I noticed that this is about roof as well. It was talking about the roof replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking our pool is looking pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Parks and Recs is starting to get there too. So this cannot be put in with, can you put the pool house or whatever you call that along with this?
No, not at this time. It would be a separate project. We can add it to the capital improvement plan,
mm-hmm,
along with the fire station and the police station improvements, if that's capital's direction.
Well, I think it needs it. I mean, when you drive by, the roof on that is looking pretty bad, and I'm thinking,
okay,
we don't need that to start leaking. I mean, there's other council members too, but
sure.
when I saw it, I thought, that sure needs a lot of help.
Can I ask you guys a, sorry not to overstep here, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
So a roof is going to be eligible, or a building will be eligible, if it can be on the National Historic Register, meaning it's going to be over 50 years in age. Is it there?
No way, it's younger than me.
Okay.
And that tells you something.
Only the library is.
Yeah.
Okay. The police station was first constructed in 1947.
Yeah.
And your fire station was around 1970. So that's kind of the other trigger on how those two buildings are eligible for federal funding.
But I don't think that the pool house was.
This is two.
That was young.
Yeah, the pool is young.
Yeah, that was young.
Right. But we will get it on the capital improvement plan.
Okay, yeah, it needs to be there. Are you going to include the Parks and Recs as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I think the police and the pool building are already on the capital improvement facilities plan. It's just the fire department, I don't think we've got on there.
I will check and get an email to the city manager.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and members of council, I've only been up here for 10 minutes, but I have to tell you, I lied to you, there are four new projects. So, project number 12.
See how you are?
I know. Sorry about that, trying to get something by us. Project number 12 is Burger Lane, Adams Avenue, Brooks Lane roadway improvements. This has been, I believe, coming up in discussion a couple times with council.
Yeah.
It's a development that's kind of far away. It's number 12, and no way, it draws an F. It wasn't intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So this was on here to not necessarily think that you're going to get TIB or Fed funding, but it's trying to be... including your tip to, I guess, recognize as a city that this is a priority for the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's on here. We would intend that these payments would be local funds to pay for this road, or it'll be some version of a potential LID that, you know, the city would decide on at some point in the future.
That's come before us years ago, and I know we tried getting the LID, the local improvement district. We tried that and it wasn't successful, but it's good that it's on the plan so we don't forget about it. In case you never know, someday the feds might have a lot of money and say, here you go, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, we tried the LID twice.
Oh, twice, okay.
Yeah, so if we go again, it would be the third time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have questions about... So, like, the striping of all the city. Is that something we should put on here? Because the stripes are, like, all gone. Is that we're using real cheap paint, or what's going on? Because not only the stripes right here, but if you go into the neighborhoods, you don't even know anymore if you're in the middle of the lane side.
The paint that is being produced now is not of a quality that there was in the past. They've had to take a lot of the real volatile stuff out of it that makes it stay. And so now we have a real poor quality paint. We are buying the same paint that the county uses. It's gone in a year. And we're not the only jurisdiction having this problem. There's a lot of agencies that are having to paint twice a year just to keep the lines on the road. So it's just a poor quality paint. I've reached out to the manufacturers asking, can't we get a better paint? They're just not making it because of the VCA.
Yeah. Rules and regulations.
Yeah.
The government's done it to ourselves, but let's not say that. That would be terrible.
Environment friendly.
We water down everything out there and then complain that it's no good after we water it down.
You know, that's a great point, Gladys, because my husband was actually saying, can you discuss that at council? Because downtown, like, the lanes are just not marked anymore. And he's like, if people are visiting, they truly are going to struggle to know what side of the road they're supposed to be on. So.
Right. Yeah. And so if you look at the crosswalks on Elm and West First, those are painted by the state.
Mm-hmm.
Those were painted in the fall of last year, and those markings are almost already gone.
Yeah.
It's not just the city. It's the state, the county. We're all getting poor quality paint because that's just what's being made and produced right now because we can't have those...
we know all the chemicals.
But you know what I mean. The chemicals that...
My only concern is, where would the city be as far as liability if there's an accident? Because there are no markings. And I've seen a couple almost happen.
Right.
Because you know those people are not from town, and they're going the wrong way or something's going on. And so...
Okay.
I'm just starting to wonder, what's the liability going to be for the city? Because
right.
we're not maintaining our roads with the stripes.
Okay.
And like I said, it's not just here.
Right.
It's on the side roads as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we need to do something about... Oh, yeah. The guy took the turn or something. Sorry. Thank you.
No.
So there is no state or federal money available for striping. They consider it to be more of a maintenance with the city.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you do a project,
yes.
you have the availability to put the new markings down. And the city also has potential of doing crosswalk and stop bars to do thermoplastic markings, which generally
yeah.
lasts about 5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
But they're about four times the cost.
Mm.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, though, is it really more, or is it going to cost you actually less in the long run? Because you're doing this every year.
Right. It doesn't matter if your bank account's empty.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. That's true. But I just want to make sure that we somehow recovered from liability if an accident happens, and it is our fault because there's no markings on the road.
Right.
Are we looking to be painting this year?
Public Works is going to start painting next week.
Okay.
Yes.
But are they doing the whole city or just downtown again for the parade?
No, we're going to do the parade route first because that's coming up in 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to branch out into the other areas. We're going to do all the federal function class roads first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to try to get to the residential areas. Currently, right now, because of COVID, the manufacturers don't have paint available.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the county coming in and painting for us this year. They cannot do that. They can't get paint for their own streets, and they don't know if they're going to be able to paint their streets this year. They're having trouble getting paint and the glass beads.
Uh-oh.
So
wow.
it's a nationwide problem this year. COVID really, you know,
yeah.
everybody says, oh, it's COVID's fault. But truly, it is a COVID issue this year for getting paint and beads.
Okay, then my other topic that I had here are potholes. Because
yes.
I was looking at the one that looks like it's starting to look like a little pool. The pothole that's looking like the pool is the one that's on G and Sadus. And it's just getting bigger and
okay.
bigger. And so what are we doing as far as potholes so that they don't get to be little
sure.
pools?
So the best thing to do is call the Public Works office, report them, and then a work order will be started, and then we'll go out and repair the potholes.
Well, shouldn't that be something that maybe our garbage guy, as he's driving by, he should know?
Right, they should be reporting that also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I will remind staff that they need to do that.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those are all my questions.
That was easy. That was taking me.
Right.
Because you know
what
you're
talking
about.
You make you nervous to begin with. You're like,
right.
oh, goodness.
Well, so just to close up, just to note that this is a regulatory document, something you have to do every year. If you do receive funding for something that isn't on here, we'll be back again. So you have to do a TIP amendment. Every city views this a little differently. It could be a planning document, it could be a priority list, it could be anything you want it to be. But for right now, we're just kind of checking that box off.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
No. Just a reminder, we're having a public hearing next Monday on this one?
Yes.
Next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 7 o'clock public hearing.
Yes.
Okay,
great.
Sounds good.
It'll be here.
Are there
right?
any other
okay.
questions?
You did
Sorry.
Great.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So
very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
thank
you.
Works.
Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 3, discussion regarding fees and schedule updates.
So tonight at for study session for council's discussion and consideration is
thank you
the
thank you.
Proposed fee schedule that we would bring forward to the next council meeting for adoption after we have decided on what we would like to bring forward. We do have a few resolutions that we at a minimum readopt the last council meeting of each year. And throughout the year, we do make fee changes and we bring them forward to council for your review and consideration. We do have a number of changes in this document. Some of them do involve fee updates, and some of them is just verbiage to be added to the fee resolution to provide clarity for folks that are reading the document and for staff when we're explaining fees to people over the counter. The first fee that is an actual addition to the city would be establishing a criteria or methodology for how we determine the valuation for a remodel or an addition. So right now, when someone brings in a permit for an addition or a remodel, we just ask them to tell us what the valuation is. And that could be a varied number depending on who it is. And a lot of people will think that, well, I'm doing all the work myself, mm-hmm. my labor doesn't cost anything, and I've gotten building material that's secondhand, so it's this addition is only $5,000. Mm-hmm. But in all reality, it does have a much higher valuation, and that valuation also impacts our property taxes. Mm-hmm. So right. The lower our valuation is, the higher the property taxes are, the higher our valuation is, the more we are able to spread the property taxes out, and the lower the property tax rates are.
Okay.
So to be fair to everyone that comes in, we're modeling the methodology after the city of Sela and the city of Union Gap, and it's actually located on page 19, which is the second page to the end. Whoa, did you? And it breaks the valuation down between, or the improvements down between a minor, a major, or a full building. And so this is provides for an equitable determination of the valuation. There's no capricious or arbitrary means to anyone, and it provides an accurate valuations that we would determine our permit fees, and again, it does add to our property valuation. The next fee that we have...
Debbie, sorry, I have a quick
sure.
question. Is that, are we discussing building from the ground up or remodels?
Remodels.
Or new buildings.
Or additions.
Oh, remodeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And alterations. Some folks will just make some kind of a kitchen remodel, or what's not everything does require a building permit, only those items that require a building permit.
Okay.
The next fee has to do with shipping containers, mm-hmm. which have now become a new source of housing and buildings to be used for businesses. And since they are going to be occupied by humans, they do require a building permit for the foundation that it's going to be sitting on. Not anything other than that.
The foundation.
So this is just to inspect the foundation that the structure will be sitting on. And this is a requirement from the building code. The next fee that we have came from the council's March 22nd regular council meeting, where staff brought forward the city's web development
mm-hmm.
ordinance,
mm-hmm.
and council established it would be $100 for a new building that was going to be located in the floodplain, and that council did not want to charge for a permit for accessory dwellings or accessory buildings in the floodplain, so there's zero fee for those structures. The next item is business license fees, which there are no fee updates to business licenses, but we did add the text that is in red, and this text comes from the municipal code. And it is, again, to provide clarity for people to understand how do we come up with the number for a business license. So it is based on employees, or is it based on the type of amusement structure that is in your business? So, and then we also want to make sure that people know that they do need to have a zoning conformance certificate for their building, for their businesses, so we can make sure that they're all in the right zone and have the right parking and meet the zoning codes.
Debbie, is there a checkoff list that's provided? Like if someone calls in and says they want to get a business license through the city of Toppenish, or they want to start a new business, Do they provide it with the checkoff lists of all the things that they need to have in line, or is it just kind of mentioned? I'm wondering, how would they know?
Well, they yes. So we currently go through the state for business licenses,
right,
as we're required to do. So when anyone goes in and establishes a new business or goes to renew their state license, if they're in the city limits of Toppenish, they automatically will be applying for their city business license.
Oh, okay.
And so we get notification from the state of new businesses, and we have like 14 days to respond to the new business license. So that's where we need to be able to get in and go talk to folks and make sure that they're in the right zone, they have everything that they need to have the business, or else the state will just issue it. And
oh, okay.
We don't get our license issued. So,
oh, okay.
And we do, so yes, to your question, with our permit coordinator, Victor Shaw, he has just been doing an excellent job creating, you know, forms and applications and checklists. And so we have more information now than we have ever had to give to folks when they're coming in to apply for permits. And he works with each one of them, and he'll go out and meet with them at their business and go over, you know, anything that needs to be done with those.
Okay. Are those forms bilingual?
If they're not, we are getting them. We're trying to get all of our forms to be both English and Spanish and on the city's website so we can, you know, have as much information online that people can go and get. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Let's see. The next one is yard sale licenses. Council did establish a yard sale permit in 2004, and that was to regulate the number of yard sales that we had each year, the duration of the sales, and to regulate the placement of signs, which we do provide the community bulletin boards and different locations. And it's very specific on the application as to where the signs can be placed. And staff does spend a considerable amount of time processing the yard sale permits, and staff's recommendation is to adjust the fee to $10 to help defray some of the costs for processing those yard sale permits. The next fee is the special event permit, which council approved the ordinance that staff presented at their March 1st study session. And that is on page 5, and it includes applications for resident and for non-resident, and the dollar amount is determined based on the time that they submit their application, whether it's within 30 days or over 30 days. Council also wanted to have a nonprofit would receive 50% of the application fees, and then we have this staff. Any staff needed is billed at the their current billing rate. The next item is dog licenses. There's no fee update to the dog license. There's really more of a discussion. We've talked about the dog license code last year, and we do have a draft ordinance that does need to be, it still needs to have some work on it and to be able to bring back to council. And one of the topics that council spent quite a bit of time on is the number of dogs per home. And one of the things I think that has created the problem with that is the municipal code lists 2 times the word kennel in the animal section of the code. It defines what a kennel is, which is any person that is boarding, breeding, or selling dogs, or any homeowner that has 4 or more dogs. So, and the next section talks about that pet licenses, including the kennel licenses, you know, the due date each year that they're due. So that's it. There's only two sections in the code that talks about a kennel license. So at some point in time, and I don't know how long ago it's been, but when folks would come in and they had four or more dogs, they were discharged $100.
Mm.
And they would get 10 dog tags or 15 dog tags for their $100.
Mm.
And that was one of the things that we had talked about when we brought this to council previously, was the inequity of that. So if you, you know, if you have three dogs and they're not spayed, that's $90.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have four, it's $100. So
mm-hmm.
there's a real inequity in poverty in that. I think the intent of the code would have been based on the fact that there, you know, the code says each dog needs to be licensed, that the intent may have been the kennel is one license, and then there's the dog licenses for each dog.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to look at it at that route, it would be, you know, $100 for your kennel and then a per license
mm-hmm.
per dog. But we do have folks that have, you know, multiple dogs, four dogs. They're all spayed. That's $15 per dog. That's $60.
Mm-hmm.
And they have currently been paying $100. So it would result in some of these folks going from $100 to $160. So the other option would be to not have a fee for the kennel license and just do a per charge per dog, and consider not charging for the kennel at this time, and then reevaluating that when we come back with the dog ordinance and when we establish a different fee system for the dogs.
Didn't we, when we talked about this, we talked about it at length,
mm-hmm.
didn't
mm-hmm.
we talk about that when you're running a kennel, it's actually running a business?
Right. And
so
then,
where does that
yes. go? Well, and there's no business license either. We don't charge a business license for business kennels.
Oh, no.
So
I see Mr. Belton making faces over there.
There's a lot of, what's
yeah.
a...
I always make faces.
Okay, so I was just wondering, maybe there was something you remembered that I didn't remember.
No, at one point we discussed it, and I thought that we had made that decision, but I guess we hadn't.
We had,
yeah.
yes, it had been discussed, and there's a draft ordinance that has been prepared.
Oh.
So one of the discussions that we talked about at length was the number of dogs,
right.
and is how would we either grandfather dogs in, which we don't have the staff or resources to be able to do that. Is it to do a different fee increments for the more dogs you have? So those are two different options that we need to bring forward to council to have a further discussion on how
mm-hmm.
how do we want to be able to control the number of dogs that people have.
Somehow I thought we did come up with a when we discussed this, I thought we came up with how many dogs a person could have. And I thought we
right.
came up with the fact that we said kennels were a business and that they would need a business license. And I thought we were going to do that ordinance or whatever, but nothing ever came back to us. But I thought that all those questions you're asking right now, I thought we already answered them all.
Yes, but part of that has to do with renegotiating the contract with the Humane Society and making sure that we can actually enforce the new ordinance with the staff that we have.
And one of the things we discussed also was not, it wouldn't be such a hassle to go back and try to grandfather
mm-hmm.
stuff is to pick a date and say, at this time,
mm-hmm.
these are the new
mm-hmm.
rules
mm-hmm.
and regulations,
mm-hmm.
forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
a lot of us old folks are told, forget the past,
mm-hmm.
move forward.
Yeah.
So.
But all we remember is the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that really an issue that you know of here in Toppenish in regards to people having, like, breeding breeding or kennels, having multiple, right? Like kennels or... I'm trying to think. I don't know of any that come to my mind.
Well, I know sometimes it sure sounds like in my neighborhood.
Yeah. I know some people do have louder dogs than others, but I'm wondering if they have...
We do have a number of residents that have multiple dogs.
Yeah.
More than we've talked about at the park.
Yeah.
The smell around the park.
Yeah, my question
I don't know that we have a legitimate kennel businesses in town.
Or is it just people having too many pets they can't keep in their yard? So maybe we should be looking at like fees in regards to stray dogs or dogs that are just getting out of the homes.
Well, and the we've tried that. The easy way out of that is
it's always
that's not my dog.
Manpower, right?
Well, it's it's just not my dog. Nobody owns up to it.
Yeah,
once they're brought to their attention.
Oh, okay.
You have to take a picture for the animal control officer, and then he will follow up with it.
Oh, yeah, but the other part to that, because I took video, the other part to that, we need to return the dog. If the owner comes to claim it, we have to give him to it, and within 3 days, we have to give it to them.
That almost sounds like you're wanting us to do part of their job.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I tell some of the stores, if I wanted to check myself out, I would have put in a job application.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You get paid right.
Absolutely. So, but don't they have to pay a fee, though? Like, when they show up and they've caught their dog on the street, there should be a fee that they're paying.
No,
kind of like, you know,
them.
You're going to pay a fee now. And if we catch them again, it's going to double. And if we catch them again, it's going to triple. Until you keep your dog in your yard, you know? Because I think just part of it is just, you know, stressing that. Like, So, I don't know.
Yeah.
We love our pets.
Yes, we do.
And so are you bringing that?
We are going to be bringing that back
again.
And when we get our code enforcement officer on board, that is going to be a big help in that area, because that is one area that we have not been able to keep on top of.
Yeah, so that's definitely
that's
an issue.
That's where the code enforcement can work with animal control and enforcing the municipal code.
Where are we with that?
Well, we're interviewing for a building official zoning administrator tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So
it'll be another study session about dogs again?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because we've already had several. And here we are, we're beating a dead horse. But
well, this
these
is just
are
a
not
fee
horses.
Right now.
Yeah.
No, I know what I'm saying. You're bringing back the dog issue again. And like, we've done this about 3 or 4 times. And it's how many times do we have to listen to the dog issues?
Until we get something in the paper, huh?
But we had it on paper. We gave a directive and it never came back.
Yeah.
So then you're going to do it one more time at a study session.
One more time.
At a study session.
At a study session.
Okay.
Yep.
What, in July?
Well, you don't ever want to say a date. Cause,
July. Don't jinx her.
So, she wants us to forget again.
No, I don't. It's a lot of phone calls. We get a lot.
No, I know, but I thought we had to take care of
emotional. It is a very emotional item for folks. So,
no,
is
don't.
It the getting the dog back, or
so
are they calling about there's a bunch of dogs in
schedule?
My yard?
Yeah.
We need to get back on the fee schedule here.
Yeah.
So would council like to have the kennel $100 separate, and it's $100 plus per dog, or?
I thought we had decided the last time that, as far as fees, that we were dropping the kennel scenario, and it was all a per dog thing. We weren't aware of any businesses, quote unquote, kennel businesses in town, so it's per dog and move on and get that kennel stuff out of there. But if that was what I remember.
And what would the fee be per dog? Is it
For a spayed or neutered it's 15, and for an altered it's 15.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants 15 dogs.
No, but I think we do need to have a limit, don't we? We need to have something that falls into that because
I would hope.
Right? Because we need to, I mean, because I wouldn't want somebody putting a kennel next to my house.
Imagine the
like,
smell.
Do we have
well,
those
yeah,
they
have
zoning
to be
things?
Before,
right?
Yeah,
and that
will
be part
permit
of our
process.
Study session.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Come on,
thank you. Thank
okay.
you. Thank you, Debbie. You have to be specific because people will do some
yeah,
crazy
yeah.
stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've
yeah.
seen okay. cows in the backyard in my neighborhood.
Okay, back onto the fee schedule.
Okay, so the next item is fire inspection fees. And so the city is required for the fire department to do an annual fire life safety inspection. And this is separate from a business license inspection, which is required for the municipal code. And the municipal code requires that a business has The municipal code states that if it is required for a business to have an inspection, then it would be a zoning review, building review, fire review, but not exclusively a fire life safety review, which is required from the fire code. So we have two other full-time fire departments in Yakima that perform annual fire inspection fees, and they charge a fee for those. Staff is recommending that we do utilize the fee schedules from Sunnyside in Yakima, and they're broken down between the occupancy of the buildings, which when you're like for an ADR, that's an assembly business resident, so that's a pretty basic structure, versus an E, which is an education, I is an institution, H is a hazardous, so those are much more complex. Those are the bigger warehouse, industrial type structures. And then based on the square footage. And then with the re-inspections, which we do have businesses that require the fire department to go back multiple times
mm-hmm.
to do inspections, the fire chief approximates that there's 300 fire inspections annually and up to 150 re-inspections. And that is conservatively 20% of the firefighter's time. So it is quite a bit. The fire chief was not able to give me a breakdown of the business census before the meeting to talk about, you know, how many businesses do we have of this square footage and this occupancy, so we could come up with a more, you know, finite amount of money that would represent. But if we just did conservatively 300 businesses at $55 a piece and 100 re-inspections at $55, that's $22,000 of revenue annually.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to kind of put that into context, you know, that right now, that those inspections are basically being paid for by the rest of the community
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
versus the individual business owner paying for that inspection to be done. And, you know, 0.5% of utility tax is $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really important for us to get our fees up so people are paying for the services that they're getting versus the whole community paying for those. So,
and what would they need to do these inspections for? Like when they open up their business?
They're done annually. They're done every year. So the first one is typically a little longer, but then the annual ones, like when they do City Hall, it's like 1.5 hours to go through City Hall. And they come in, they let you know that they're, you know, you're doing your annual inspection, they go through the whole building, give us a checklist of all the things we need to correct, and then give us X amount of days depending on the gravity of the, you know, item that needs to be fixed, to come back and get it fixed.
Okay.
Let's see. The next item is not, there's no fee involved in it. It is just a correction. When we did the last fee update, I had combined the fire sprinkler and alarms as one permit, but they're actually two separate permits and two separate plan reviews, so it is separating those. One that we came up, we've been spending quite a bit of time in the municipal code, seeing what we got in there, and we realized that our fee resolution doesn't even line up with what the municipal code says about short plats. And so a short plat is 2 to 6 lots, where in our former fee resolution, it was either 2 to 4 or 5 to 9, and it's like, you can't even do 9, so let's just make it be what the code says. So those fees are not changing. And the next one is the water fees, and that specifically has to do with correcting another error that had happened at somewhere along the line. There must have been a typo in the dollar amount for the 1-inch meter, because it was almost $100 less than a 3/4-inch meter, and the correct amount should be $438 and not $230. We would like to initiate a hydrant permit for the use of fire hydrants. We currently, the municipal code has a, what is it called? It's called a meter setup fee.
Yes.
And it's $23. But the amount of time that it takes to get the fire hydrant, to get it issued, and the biggest part is the inspection of the hydrant after it's been used, and that is quite lengthy. And so the $75 is an hour and a half of work to pull the meter out of stock, get the reading, get it issued, let them use it, and then we'll get it back to do the inspection and make sure that there's no damage to it, and then put it back in stock for the next customer to use.
Oh, sorry, Debbie, we're talking about fire hydrants?
Yes.
Like, what in the world are people doing with fire hydrants?
They
for water
fill
trucks.
Up their swimming pools.
Mm-hmm. Using they, fire hydrants?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I
thought, yeah. It would take a long time in your bathtub to do
yeah,
you know what?
Well,
I had no
idea.
I thought they would
hose.
Just use their hoses.
A garden hose takes me about 7 days.
7 days.
To fill my pool.
I
so,
7 days.
So you call the city and they
so
go?
So you use a fire hydrant?
Oh, yeah.
I have. Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
So does the city go out and then use
yeah.
their hoses
yeah,
and
I
then...
Do
oh, I'm like, do you have a hose for a fire hydrant? I have no idea. I'm thank you. I was oblivious. I'm like, wow. You know, I never even questioned, like,
and
how do people fill up?
They will get... water from fire hydrants for the street cleaners.
The construction,
private
construction
companies.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
the
end. Okay, you see, that makes more sense
yeah.
now. I was just thinking fire hydrants are city stuff. City uses those, you know, but wow, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Great. Thank you.
And the next one having to do with water is the improper connections. And this has not been looked at for quite a number of years. It's currently $10. Penalty.
What page are you on?
We're on
sorry.
16.
Okay, thank you.
16.
If you have an improper connection, and that could be anything. I mean, it could be someone just jumping in the water meter and connecting straight to the city's water system, whether it's a commercial building or a residential building, or it could be illegally hooking up to a fire hydrant, which we do have those, and it does. You know, that is, they're messing with the integrity of our whole water system and the safety of our water, and it is really important that we are providing, you know, safe drinking water. And so, you know, the dollar amount that staff is recommending does fit with the gravity of the action that they are doing. So that is something that staff would like council to consider. And the last item is the updating of the building permit fees, and at Council's March 22nd Council meeting, we did do the state update for the building code, and with that would be the update of the building code fees, which result. It's on page 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, this is per the building code, and it's updating the dollar amount per square footage, per occupancy, per size, and then that determines the valuation of the new structure that's going in.
So my question on that,
mm-hmm.
why can't we just round up to the nearest dollar? I mean, you got here like 37 cents, 35 cents, 15 cents.
Well,
why can't we just round it up?
It would end up coming out with an odd number anyways, because it's going to be, you're multiplying that by square footage. So it could be 137 square feet, or it could be 137,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the number that comes from the building code.
Mm.
So this number, like 1A,
mm-hmm.
or A1, where it says $263.06,
mm-hmm.
that's according to square, what?
Per square foot.
Right.
Okay.
So if it was, 50,000 square foot assembly, so it would be a church, it would be $263.06 per square foot. And that's how we
okay.
would get the valuation.
Answer my question, thank you.
So, and if council is in agreement, we can bring the resolution back at the next council meeting for adoption, and then the fees would go into effect the next business day.
Just a quick question,
sure.
You may not know about that, but this is back in the yard sale
uh-huh.
license fees, which you're asking to put a fee to that.
Mm-hmm.
And right now all we're doing is asking our citizen to, hey, come down and let us know you want to have a yard sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you a permit to do that. My question to you is, we probably have at least 20 yard sales every weekend in this town. How many of those people have come down here and asked for a permit?
We do actually issue on an average 340 a year.
Yeah. Because I know why people, and we did this originally, because people were running a business
yeah.
out of their yard. They were having a yard sale every weekend.
Yes.
Okay, but, and I know it's happening again,
mm-hmm.
but just a quick question, because the fee thing, is I'm sure, I think we're probably lucky if we permit 50% of the yard sales that go on in town.
It could be.
I would be surprised if it's that high.
Well, it's probably
but
people
anyway.
That put the boxes on the street corners.
If we can get $10, I guess
the ones that don't get a permit.
Well, I know that Tim was going around even on weekdays.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's
Saturday,
that's
Sunday.
The issue. It's
yes.
a weekend, so you know you're.
Yeah.
We need a management person to do it so we're not paying overtime
mm-hmm.
and losing money trying to
yeah.
spend $20 trying to collect $10.
So then I'm wondering, though, since if he's still doing that where he goes around and he finds, hey, you didn't get a permit, here's your fine. Are they being fined or they're not being fined?
We don't have a penalty.
No, there's no penalty. And again, I mean,
oh, okay.
you know, hopefully we're all adults. You know, I mean, come on. And we're just
year,
telling
whatever.
People, you know, be honest. I will guarantee you there's a lot of building goes on in town that technically need building permits that aren't purchased. I mean, it's
yeah.
just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It happens.
Especially
and,
on a weekend.
It happens a lot.
Hey, Debbie, since the business permits for the city have now gone through the state, have we noticed an increase now with the businesses in town having the also the business license through the city?
We have noticed an increase in business license fees, yes.
Because it's connected now?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And then I also had a question about this fee structure here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just... By looking at the prices, am I correct to assume that the 1A is the larger building and the BB is the smaller building, just because the prices are declining as they go over from the left to the right?
And that has to do with the type of construction. So it's the fire rating. So like, and I don't know what the Roman numerals actually mean, but like it's 5B. I know that and that is, you know, this all is. Wood construction, and it's like a certain hour construction, so it's going to take a fire X amount of hours to get through it, so it's safer than another one. Is
he's
that,
his tongue.
I know, I'm staring at
some buildings when they're constructed, you can have a two
yeah,
hour
there's hilltop construction
barrier.
And sprinklers
so,
oh.
and everything. So,
okay,
question is, are we all in agreement that this can be put on the next agenda? To move forward with.
Yeah.
He's not answering your question.
Oh, Well, I just really want to try to understand this, because I don't, for example, when you have the A-3 type, you have multiple, right? Like you have assembly, restaurant, bars, banquets, assembly, churches, assembly, general, community halls. But out of those three, just the A-3, you know, you have, or the A-2, A-3s, you have anywhere between restaurants, bars, churches, and then libraries and stuff. But of those three, the churches is the highest fee. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is the churches the highest fee? You know, I just want to understand, like, where that comes. Is it because the A1 is going to be a bigger structure? Or is it because, you know, I guess I'm just trying to understand how that correlates.
Well, the International Code Council, which determines these dollar amounts, have determined, for some reason, whether it's the occupants, the size.
Yeah. So that's what my question is, yeah.
Probably the number of people that would be in there.
How to exit.
Because it's a basing, yeah, because like if you think of a dance hall or a banquet hall, you can have a banquet hall with 500 people in it. You can also have a church with 200, you know, and the banquet hall is still cheaper than it would be for a church to operate or to have that. So I'm just trying to understand, is it based on, like, the size of the building? Is it based on, like, where did those numbers come from?
Well, it's occupancy and construction type. That's the biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's construction type. Rather than try to, say, compare a church to a dance hall, it's, we have a brick church,
so,
and we have a wooden dance hall, or vice versa.
Okay.
And occupancy is going to be the same for both.
Yeah.
If, you know, but
just the type of construction
built,
they're going to.
Yeah, the structure.
Okay.
And plus a lot of it,
commercial
construction. What's the contents of the structure, what's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another factor you got to take into. You know,
right.
Means of egress, mm-hmm. You know, how are you going to get out? You know,
yeah.
Is it sprinkler?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Just a lot of things when you're building codes and fire inspections and everything all correlate together, because they intertwine fire codes and building codes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Tim's so busy a lot of stuff. He's doing both.
Both. Mm-hmm.
And everything. So.
Great.
Well, then I would like to go ahead and make a motion. Motion yet.
I have some questions about the special event permit applications and stuff. Just because I know that there are some events coming up, summertime, people are going to be using the parks, and I was looking at the application.
What page are you on? Sorry.
Page 5.
Okay.
I know people are having big events in parks, and the application now has, like, you have to say how many garbage cans you want,
mm-hmm, uh-huh.
And they're going to be charged for those, and so.
Right.
I guess, so if a church has an event in the park, they would be a nonprofit organization, so it'd be half the price, right? And that's just
not
the application fee.
Right, not for the city services.
But
though.
Not for the services.
Mm-hmm. And we do currently, they pay their garbage now, anyways. That's not new.
Who does?
The charge for garbage.
Yeah. No, so like if you're having a special event and you ask them to bring out 3 90-gallons and
mm-hmm.
5 of the, I don't know, 300.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have to then pay those separately, like.
Yeah, we would have them post a deposit, and then we would deduct the dumping costs of those cans from the deposit, and what was left would be returned to them.
And then can you remind me about the significance about the amount of people? Do they have to pay more for that, for their permit, if there's more than 100 people in attendance or less than 50?
No, it's just determined on if they need a permit is based on the number of people.
Okay.
And it's the timing that they submit their application.
Okay.
Is less than 30 days or more than 30 days. Because it's a time, it is a pretty lengthy process to get it reviewed. And so if they're going to do it in less than 30 days, then that means staff is going to have to
make the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the city staff required for each event, like,
mm-hmm.
can you give me an example, like, other than, is it like police that would have to be there, or?
No, I can't actually. When we had a business on South Toppenish, they wanted to have the road closed, and we allowed the road to be closed only if we used our public works staff to man the barriers, because mm-hmm. that's our main thoroughfare for our police department to mm-hmm. go through, and we could not take the chance on allowing someone who did not know what they were doing to move those barriers to let emergency vehicles through.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the conditions of their permit, and so they paid for 4 public works staff to man those barriers to move them
mm-hmm.
For an emergency vehicle.
And that's usually depending on the size, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's where
and
there's like
the number,
when you have the vintage cars in and they
mm-hmm.
take up the entire park and there's
mm-hmm.
hundreds of people coming through, then that would affect how many, like Councilwoman Duval was saying, is the amount of garbage cans that they have
mm-hmm.
to have and the amount of city, either police officers or city
mm-hmm.
staff that
and
they need there.
And it depends if they're going to have food and alcohol, and then it also,
right.
there's Santa cans, and so the health department is involved, and so there's a lot that we're not approving those, but we have to ensure that they have those permits,
yeah.
and they've received the required, the number of Santa cans we're supposed to have, and it does actually, if you're serving alcohol, it changes the dynamics of Santa cans.
Yeah, and I think it's important too, just that people understand that, just because we live in a community where we have really large families, and just acquaintances, and a bunch of families are very extended. Because even the other day when my husband and I were at the park, the garbage cans that were there were literally overflowing. There was garbage all around. It would be great if people took their garbage with them if they see that the garbage cans are overflowing, because they're not the big, big ones. They're those smaller ones. But, they have their parties at the park, and then they literally fill up every garbage can in sight and then leave extra garbage there in bags, which then gets blown away or gets torn apart by dogs. There was garbage everywhere all over the park. It was disgusting.
We actually have people that bring their garbage to the park.
Yeah, that too.
I see.
And so my husband was just like, honey, why do they have such little garbage cans here? And I said, well, the thing is that if there's that many people on a weekend, they just all show up at the park, which is great that there's people out and about, but it's not the norm, which is why then all those garbage get filled up. So so I just think there's things to consider. I think people need
to
be considerate.
There are a lot of people that won't even lift the lid to put their garbage
right?
in it. They'll put it on the top of the lid.
Dear God,
I'm risking. And then everybody else thinks that the garbage can is full.
Yeah.
So I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
So
it is important if those bigger events.
See people pull up in their vehicles, get out, get their garbage sacks out of their trunks or the back of their trucks, and put them in the city park
garbage
cans.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
Another one that gets hit pretty hard like that is farm workers.
Yeah.
They all do businesses. You see it happening. People down the alleys, they're actually dumping garbage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyways. Did I answer your question,
Councilmember
Duval?
Yeah.
So.
Are you ready now for me?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so I would make a motion to direct staff to prepare a resolution that will update the proposed fee schedule for council's consideration at our council meeting next Monday, June 14th, which is a regular council meeting.
I'll second that.
Very good. I have a motion on the floor from Councilwoman Jimenez and seconded by Councilman Garcia to put the scheduled fee update on the June 14th, 2021 regular council meeting. All in favor, or any further discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we will move on. I don't know if we move on because we're past our hour.
No more moving on.
Wow.
The next item is Lance's.
Okay, we're moving on to item 4.
And he muted.
No.
Discussion regarding the City Council Governance Manual. You got 5 minutes.
5 minutes. He doesn't have any time. He's minus five.
Can't hear him.
Can't hear.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
Okay, now.
Council, welcome back to the council chambers. It's good to see you all in there. Before you, we requested that everybody bring their governance manual in so we can do an update on that. Thank you for doing that. A few of us, I think Lara and Nyla and I, and we, I think we attended the Jurassic Park training. We had three nights on Thursday evenings for an update. Or kind of a training session on how to do motions, how to run a meeting, etc. And we'll add that information to the back of your manual so you can review that. And so, appreciate everyone bringing those in and take the time to review a chapter of that every now and then to keep yourself up to date on protocols, all those types of things, so we can keep our meetings running quick and efficiently. Hard for me to say that, quick and efficiently. So, so that's what we appreciate happening. So that's what I have for that. And I'd also like to have everyone look around the council chambers and look how it looks now that we have our road deal banners. They're all, they're framed and hung. Debbie was able to hire James, who is Sabrina Renfro's husband, who's a woodworker, to come in and do those improvements. He did a lot of that stuff, as well as he put fresh varnish on all the council dioceses and in the lobby, the same way. Numerous places he did that. It just helped spruce up the city hall in general, and it's just amazing how that effort really approved City Hall. So thank you, Debbie, for administrating that. And that's all I have tonight.
Good. How's your knee?
Very good. I hope Wednesday I will be released and then I can come back to work. Working off my surface at home is pretty tough because you don't have your second screen. You don't have all those types of things. Yeah. Anyway.
Get better soon.
And your bandwidth isn't really very good.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it looks like that panel fell off. Is that going to get fixed?
There's a window behind it. Yeah. It looks just like this. It's going to look like that.
Oh, nice. I was like, what's going on there? There's another one. There's something funky going on. They got to fix that?
You forgot something.
I know. I'm just...
You're not done.
I'm kind of OCD. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. There's.
It's going to be blown up.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's great. Why don't we have an American flag back here?
It hasn't made it back down.
Oh, okay, I'm like, where's our flag? I know, yeah. I'm just like looking,
it'll
huh?
It'll be here Monday for you.
Okay, great.
Sure. We have the meeting. Let's go.
All right.
Fabulous.
With that, we found moving on new, to item five.
We found our new inspector.
Oh, I know, right? I'm detailed.
That is adjournment.
Thank you.
Don't lose
so
out.
We want to keep our surfaces here. Is that right?
No, you're...
Yeah, I thought you said... Yeah.